The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwin.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Well, greetings, programs. This is the Rapids podcast presented by Advocare in two different locations. Once again this week, Richard has decided to take some holidays, some leisure time up in the mountains, but that doesn't mean that he stops working because he's still here for you. I am down in our Pacific Northwest or Scotland-like Mile High City. This podcast will feature part two of the long-awaited interview with General Manager of Pro, the Professional Referees Organization, Peter Walton. Lots of great stuff in that coming up. Also, we'll talk internationals, World Cup qualifiers, the first game of the season for Charlotte Independence, and hear from defender Bobby Berling on the gap between games, which is substantial. First, though, let's take you back to Tuesday of this week. At Field 20 at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, the Rapids face their USL neighbors, the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. Richard Fleming watched proceedings. Richard, what did you see in, I guess you'd call it a maintenance match for Colorado?
Yeah, and two very different sides, two different 11s in the first half and second half put out by Pablo Mastroianni. The conditions were not ideal. It was windy, it was cold. But as you say, it was an exercise to try and keep them sharp, give them something a little bit more than just the intra-squad scrimmages that they've been taking part in. A goal in the first half from Marlon Hess and two goals in the second half from Alan Gordon. And I've got to say, so it was a 3-0 win, but the result is kind of secondary to giving the guys some minutes, trying out some different formations. And we actually spoke to Dominic Badgey after as part of a Facebook live Q&A, and he was saying that this gap is being used to try and iron out a few of the creases that they'd recognised from the first three games. So although it's not ideal, although it's not in terms of momentum, you don't really want to be bringing a halt to proceedings this early on in the season. They kind of had a reset after those first three games, and they tried to implement that during Tuesday's game. Courtney Ford, I thought, played well. He seemed to be a threat at set pieces, and in fact, it was his knockdown that Alan Gordon scrambled over the line for his first and the Rapids second. He was picking up the pieces. But yeah, I think a decent exercise. They'll go again on Friday, 11v11, as an intra-squad. I think what you get from an opposing team with unfamiliar faces, you get maybe a little bit more, I wouldn't say needle, but you get a little bit more of an edge to games like that. You don't know the guys on a personal level, but yeah, it's an interesting time. They've got to try and keep fit. They've got to keep sharp, and this is one of the ways of doing it.
Well, the next game for the Rapids in Major League Soccer is not till next Sunday, April 9th at Sporting Kansas City. That game is live on FS1 and Altitude Sports Radio AM 950. The fact that it's on FS1 means that you will be joining me in Kansas City.
Yes.
And also, both the Nuggets and the Avalanche are playing on that day. So across the Altitude Sports Radio networks, there may be a possibility of a delayed start on our part. So whatever's on 950 at the time, just stick with it, and we'll be with you eventually there on April 9th. Again, Rapids at Sporting Kansas City. The next home game is against Real Salt Lake, who have named Mike Petke their head coach on Saturday, April 15th, a 7 p.m. start. Call 303-825-GOAL for tickets or go to coloradorapids.com. Is that a surprise to you, just very quickly, that Petke is the next head coach of RSL?
Not really, no. He had success at New York Red Bulls. It was a strange kind of exit for Petke at the Red Bulls. He sat on his hands and kind of bided his time. There was a job came up with the USL, the Real Monarchs. And, you know, sometimes in this industry, it's certainly, it's knowing the right people. It's sometimes who you know and not what you know. And often it's being in the right place at the right time. And he was in the right place at the right time. He just slid into the USL role. And then, of course, Jeff Cassar was given the boot. And Petke was, I think people kind of assumed that. Looking around MLS, there are not too many out-of-work head coaches that would have sprung to mind, and I think it just seemed a ready fit. So Petke, former Rapids player, of course,
and of course.
I think the one thing that Rapids have got to guard against, I mean, Real Salt Lake have got off to a sticky start, but as we all know, you get a new coach in, whether it's a permanent coach, as is the case with Petke, or whether it's an interim coach, as was the case with Brian Schmetzer, new ideas, fresh impetus, and sometimes they'll have that honeymoon period. So the Rapids are going to have to guard against that come April 15th.
April 15th against RSL at home, 303-825-GOAL or coloradorapids.com for tickets. So the Rapids without a competitive game since March 18th. How's that been? You, sir, Richard Fleming, put that question, among others, to Bobby Burley.
It feels a bit like preseason, to be honest. You know, it's just one of those breaks in which you wish would come later in the season, but at the same time, trying to use it to rest some of the banged up bodies and mentally and physically, you know. But again, you know, for us, I think we'd rather have this in a month or two from now rather than feeling like we just got done with the preseason. Now we're kind of back in preseason playing, you know, training. Training's good, obviously, but it's hard to keep that, you know, competitive edge when you don't have a meaningful game for 3 weeks. So I think it's, you know, a time to recharge and use it to our advantage if we can.
What you do, having prepared for the start of the season, then you have the first three games of the regular season. Have you taken those three games and said, okay, what we're now working on is stuff that we need to iron out from those three games and what we learned from those?
Yeah, we have been having meetings, you know, and talking about some of the concepts we went over in preseason and we worked on for, you know, 6 and 7 weeks, and maybe how we've kind of gone away from those the first 3 weeks with, you know, actual MLS games. But at the same time, to refocus and, you know, work on some things that we've kind of struggled at the first three games and, you know, and tighten the screws a little bit defensively as well.
In terms of being all together as a group, there's a few of the players obviously away on international duty. How does that kind of tinker with things and you're not able to work with all the squad?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of those things too where it's occasionally that we get a weekend off, you know, and for guys with families or wives or girlfriends and kids, maybe they take a weekend trip away or, you know, just get away from the game to do something because, you know, in all honesty, we don't get too many weekends off during 11-month season. So for those, it's, you know, it's nice to kind of get away. Some guys went camping last weekend, I think. So some guys will stay together if they don't have families or wives out here, and some guys will kind of do their own thing. It's just kind of nice to get away, I think. We spent enough time with each other as it is, especially coming off a long preseason just a month ago or so. So it's good to just recharge a bit and get away.
How do you keep the competitive edge? Because mentally, physically, but having that razor-sharp edge that you would need to go into a game.
Well, I think you look at our last result, and it's, you know, unfortunately we didn't get a W at home, and I think there's a bad taste in our mouth. And we know our next game is at Kansas City, a tough place to play against a good team. And to maintain that competitive, you know, advantage or edge is just kind of having that sour taste in our mouth after not getting a result at home going into this long break. It's definitely in the back of our minds. But at the same time, we know we got a tough environment to go play in. And that being said, we got to compete every day and compete there as well. So I think just a competitive fight in each guy at every position to win the day is something we look forward to when we get to Kansas City.
People saw that game against Minnesota and thought, well, they've tinkered a bit. They've moved the shape of the formation. They brought in different personnel. And then you see the 5-2 loss for them, for those guys against the Revolution last weekend. Does that kind of almost just add to the bitter taste that it was a missed opportunity?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, every game's different. I think, you know, they were definitely thrilled to get a point out of us the last game out. But at the same time, you know, New England's a good side at home. And the turf or whatever, you know, whatever excuses you can have, they had the altitude here. I think they had a good performance against us. That game was a bit wild as well. I think the first five goals, or the first all seven goals, were scored in the first 53 minutes. So yeah, just on their day, you know, New England can be an explosive team, but at the same time, you know, it's nothing against us. We didn't get it done at home, and I think it was a good result for them. But yeah, at the same time, it's interesting to see how, you know, they responded after a good result as well.
For you, and we spoke to Jared a couple of weeks ago, and I remember for him, his chance that he got last year was when you had the knee surgery, then you had turf toe, Axel's out. How much of this is you kind of grabbing the opportunity while you can?
I mean, it's a long season, and you know, whether you're a day one starter or a last day starter, it doesn't really matter on this team. We got guys that are, you know, willing and able at every position, and I think you know, Pablo's mantra is next guy up when someone goes down. And for right now, it was my turn to be called upon. And hopefully I can get a good run of games here and get some momentum.
There is Bobby Berling talking with our very own Richard Fleming. Interesting that you asked him about that Minnesota result last weekend, a 5-2 loss at Revolution. Not an easy start for the Loons. 3 of 4 games on turf, the other at altitude, but they've now given up 18 goals in 4 games. Does that make that 2-2 loss, as I call it, even more frustrating?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's put it into context. Portland put 5 past them. Atlanta did them for 6, and then New England put another 5 past them as well. So the fact that the Rapids managed only 2 goals, had to come from behind in that game as well, and playing against 10 men for the last 20 minutes, has got to be a source of frustration. Now, it's clear that the players and the coaches have kind of moved on. The focus is very much on learning from that and having a good go at Sporting KC on Sunday week. But I think games like that, it's tougher for fans and the likes of us to kind of move on. And we do, and it's more unhealthy, we do kind of dwell on those games. And I think fans will have looked at that result against the Revolution and wondered. So the team, over the last few days and over the last week or so, will regroup, and I'm hoping, and everyone else is hoping, that they'll right that wrong when given the chance. But Sporting KC is a tough place to go. They were doing the average goals against for Minnesota, and they're on course to hit about 153 goals against at the end of this season. Now, I would be absolutely staggered if they didn't make moves before that, and Adrian Heath was either given something to bolster that defence, or they brought somebody else new in. But that kind of gives you an indication as to how poor a start Minnesota have had, playing at altitude at a stadium where the Rapids had not lost since the end of the 2015 season. So yeah, no, absolutely. I think it kind of sharpens and brings that game into more focus. People looked at that game, And they kind of came up with a little bit of a ready-made excuse. It was that they brought in different personnel, Minnesota. They switched formation around. So that's why they were a slightly different side and maybe a little bit more competitive. And then, of course, New England go and do them 5-2. So, that will sting a little bit. And hopefully they kind of channel that for the game against Sporting KC.
Hopefully the sting will go away on April 9th. Well, next we conclude the two-part interview with Peter Walton, the GM of Pro, the organization that oversees referees in North America. Last time out, Peter spoke eloquently with regards to the 4 points of emphasis which referees focus on this season. One of those is holding, wrestling, grappling, and set pieces. And Richard put it to him that this frustrating element of the game is nothing new. So maybe it will take 3 or 4 PKs in a match and a flurry of red cards for the message to finally get through.
Well, it could well be that a referee takes that quite disciplined stance. You have to have one eye on game management, of course, and making sure that your actions are not just seen to be following the law just because. However, if it takes such a strong line to get behaviour modified, then maybe that's where our referees will take. I do think that because each club has been visited pre-season, each club has been discussing and outlined these 4 initiatives, that the playing staff are aware of it. So I think from the start of the season, we'll see a reduction purely because of the information that have been given pre-season. If it happens during the game and you see a penalty kick given or you see a defensive free kick given, as a supporter, I don't think you should be surprised. There will be cries, of course, of inconsistencies. But as I said earlier, you know, I'm not looking to penalise every offence because, you know, soccer, football is a physical game. And there will be grappling, there will be some kind of physical aspect of any free kick or any corner kick. What we are looking for is those ones where everybody in the ground says, well, how did the guy miss that? And it's those ones that we want to pick up on.
How much of this, and you guys have, and I'll say this absolutely openly, you guys are very open. You, at a number of meetings that I've been at, you've invited the media, you've invited clubs along to your workshops, your referee workshops during the season, and you have a number of those around the country. How much of that, when you're working with the referees, not just about fitness, not just about applying the laws of the game, but how much of is it about man management and communication on the field?
Great question, that is. Yes, we do hold open training sessions for media, for playing members, for managers to attend. And we've had a number of individuals take us up on that offer. The idea, of course, is that, you know, we can learn from the playing staff as well as the playing staff can learn from us. It is a two-way effect. In terms of that communication, it's so much more important, I think, in today's game that we do have player relationship, that the players do understand us a little, and that there is that respect there. And that helps to game manage, that helps to get the flow of the game, and also helps players understand the game better, as well as referees understanding the game better. We constantly strive for consistency. That is something that I hear many times over, consistency. And what we try to show the people in our training camps is how subjective some of the calls can be. It just depends on A, whose side you support, or B, where you sit in the stadium. You see two different games. It's very subjective. But what we try to do is to have some consensus, so our guys go out armed with a consensus view. But ultimately, it's down to the individual to administer, you know, what they want to do. I think that having a little bit of openness, a little bit of transparency, gets people together to understand each other's perspective. We will never get together, that's for sure. But what I want to do is to shorten or narrow the gap, if there is a gap that is there.
I know I took a referee's course kind of 30 years ago, but I've also played the game. And you sometimes get those people that say, to be a referee, you've had to have played the game. And to be a player, it's kind of a different, you view the game differently. Is that gap kind of closing, or is that a misconception that it's just a kind of myth that's thrown out there to sully the referee's approach?
You know, some of the world's finest referees have never kicked a ball in their life. It doesn't mean to say they're not good practitioners at their particular art. However, having said that, I do believe that having an understanding of the game, the tactics that's formed, the frustration, the pressures that players feel, the fatigue that players feel, is important for a referee as well. Not just to link favour with a player or a coach, but just to understand the whole arena that they're working in. And our referees are constantly told about relationships, about game management, about player management. But all this, Richard, is underpinned by application of law. We must have application of law, and that is fundamental. However, in order to achieve, you know, a game in terms of game management, I think relationships and the ability to manage individuals under a pressure situation is also most important. And the very best referees have a great balance between applying law when necessary and allowing players to flourish and be themselves with use of man management.
I hear this from fans, and obviously with football, soccer being the global game here in the US, we get to watch all kinds of football from all different parts of the world. And I hear from fans saying, well, that referee applied the rule or the law in this fashion in the Premier League, and I saw this in the Champions League. Is it, from your experience, different country, kind of different game? Have we got to that stage?
Well, we haven't. No, I don't think we've gone down that line. What we do have, of course, is a world full of different cultures, and different cultures have different expectations. And in terms of the laws of the games, they're universal. And how we approach those laws of the games is down to that individual competition or that individual federation. I think that there are some referees who just apply law per se. That's it. And their federation or their league accepts that. There are other leagues where there can be a slight different interpretation of the same law. So you'll see a variety of sort of styles throughout the world, as you see in the actual playing styles as well. There's a different style from South America to the different style in Europe to a different style in Asia. And that's also with the way the referees are refereeing their games. But again, I'll go back to that previous question. This is all underpinned by law. It is the same law for the world over. How the referee applies that law is down to the individual association. And I think that the North American, both the CSA, the Canadians and the US soccer, their interpretation I think he's setting a very good benchmark for others to follow.
Let's move on to video assistant referee. And I know Howard Webb has been brought on board, one of the finest referees of his generation. And I know it's still at the trial stage. But how big, in your view, how big a step forward is that in aiding match officials?
So I think it's a huge step. I think it's a huge step because it's a fundamental change in the way that the law is written. I think anything that will give our officials the armoury to get decisions, these clear, obvious, match-changing decisions correct, can only be good, provided it doesn't influence or change the natural flow of the game and the spectacle that the fans and the media, the players, enjoy at the moment. And that's why it's going through a two-year testing cycle to ensure that if anything of this nature is brought into the game, it doesn't change the game fundamentally. But at the end of the day, if it helps with, you know, the type of goal that knocked Brazil out of the Gold Cup, or was it last year, last summer, or the Thierry Henry that knocked Ireland out of a World Cup qualifier, those types of decisions, if we get those right, can only be good for the game and something that I'm fully behind.
There's a part of me, maybe it's the kind of the old-fashioned part of me, is that long after games are finished, long after the final whistle has blown, there's always been that little grey area that sparks debate in all kinds of sport. And does there need to be a little area of that still left for that healthy debate? I mean, that's what it's all about. As you've mentioned already, there might be 30,000 fans inside a ground and there might be 30,000 different opinions. Can that still be within the sport and still be healthy for the sport?
Oh, yes, and must be maintained. And that's what makes the sport so popular worldwide, and that's what makes the sport, you know, the fastest-growing sport in North America, because people have that subjective view. And that's so, so important to keep. I mean, I know, and you know, that Jeff Hurst's goal in 1966 was clearly over the line. So, you know, we don't need no need to debate that. But, of course, in the new video assistant refereeing program, the protocol clearly says that the offence must be clear and obvious, and that's in its subjective in itself. And so what's clear and obvious to you and I may not be to a third party, and that's where that subjective debate will still apply. However, because it's clear and obvious, surely, you know, everybody should see that it was the hand of God or the ball that went over the line in the 66 final, or Lampard's goal, those sort of things, you know, that's what we want to get right. But there are still areas of subjective nature. And don't forget, we are only looking at the four sort of aspects of the game, in being, you know, the penalty kicks, the send-offs, the goals, and or the misidentification of individuals. You know, the rest of the game is not being touched. And again, that's where the fans will have their debates.
And finally, and thank you very much for your time, Peter, but tougher now than when you started? Would you like to be a referee today?
Yes, I'd love to be a referee today. There's nothing like going out in the field. You ask any coach, if you would rather be a coach or a manager, a coach or a player, they'd always say a player. Likewise, a refereeing. Yes, I'd like to. And you're quite right. The goldfish bowl that they find themselves in nowadays is part of that that role, and something that they must warm to and even thrive in. And so, to your question, if I was fit enough, yes, please, I'd be refereeing Colorado tomorrow.
Again, our thanks to Peter Walton for taking the time to talk to us. We wish him and his staff all the best for 2017. Now time for some news from around the club. Dennis Castillo has joined USL affiliate Charlotte Independence on loan. Charlotte opened their season this Saturday at home to Charleston Battery. Now it's time for...
More important dates to remember.
This is the Cardell Holmes Community Spotlight, where we take a look at club events or events involving club personnel. And coming up next Monday, that's April 3rd, from 5 to 6, will be hosting a Rapids Player Clinic sponsored by Cardell Holmes, which will feature Rapids player Mark Birch. The clinic will be for roughly 75 kids from Commerce City. The Rapids Player Clinics target youth soccer associations in the Denver metro area and focus on basic soccer skills. If you're interested in registering for a Rapids Player Clinic, visit coloradorapids.com. Parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast is brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila, one sip, and you know. Just like one sip of Richard Fleming, and you know. What's your parting shot this
week, sadly, sir? Sadly. Well, without a game for the Rapids, my focus turned to the international scene and the USA and the must-win, and I put that in quotes, the must-win game for the USA against Honduras last Friday. The must-win label kind of became something of a talking point, didn't it, before the game? I know that Rob Stone and Alexi Lalas were kind of battling as to how to describe it. There were a couple of the national media were going back and forth, suggesting that it wasn't quite a must-win game. And, you know, can we call it a must-win? And, you know, let's try and come up with alternatives so maybe it doesn't sound as if the US is so desperate. How about near must-win? I mean, what a load of nonsense. And I think the result against Panama on Tuesday kind of, again, I used this phrase earlier, sharpened the focus as to how important the home games are going to be for the USA. The fact is, they'd lost the first two games. One at home, and then that sound thrashing in Costa Rica. So two games had gone, they didn't have a point, and those two results, of course, had cost Jurgen Klinsmann his job. So before Honduras, and look, let's, you know, make no bones, a wonderful win, a fantastic win by 6-0. The USA had 8 games remaining in the hex. 4 at home, 4 away. Now, the crucial thing before Honduras was for the USA to look after business at home. So there was a maximum of 12 points. Now, when you look at what it's taken in the last previous World Cup cycles, even to make it into that playoff position of fourth,
with Asia.
It's around, this time it'll be with Asia. It's not Oceania, right. So it's not going to be kind of New Zealand or Fiji. It's going to be
possibly
a tougher opposition, but also tougher travel as well. And this was kind of floated around that it was a near must win. The crucial thing, the USA have got to win their home games. As I say, 14-15 points to make the playoff places. The USA have got 4 points from 4 games, so they're still kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. Anything less than a win against Honduras, and that would have put them in a kind of must-win situation for games on the road. And we know how tough it is in CONCACAF to go to some of these places. And we saw with Panama on Tuesday night, the conditions, the atmosphere, the field conditions were treacherous. And it's not conducive to good soccer. So sometimes you can be a little too close as the national setup. And maybe you're not wanting to upset a few people. And maybe you're not wanting to suggest that this mighty soccer nation in CONCACAF, the USA, 2 games in, are already in a must-win situation. But I think that's what was facing them. Now, I will look on the player front. I did see at the time on Friday night, there was kind of people drawing parallels with Leicester City. This was a side, very similar players, very similar personnel, and they get done in Costa Rica, and then they go and thrash Honduras. So there's a collective accountability, I think, from the coaches all the way through the playing staff. But now they've got Bruce Arena on board. They're on the board in terms of points, and I expect them to have a real good go in terms of Russia. But this idea that these games were not must win, or certainly the road games are must not lose, you've got to pick up the wins at home. And if you can pick up a point on the road, that's kind of the ideal scenario. Nobody expects the USA to go and win on the road with every game. But I think now, with the position that they're in, I think the expectation is they have to win every single home game.
Well, in lieu of there being a first-team Colorado and Dallas matchup this weekend, remember, that game was scheduled for Saturday at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. It's now been moved to October 7th. You can come out and watch the Colorado Rapids DAs, the 16s and the 18s, taking on FC Dallas. 18s kick off at 10 a.m. on Field 8. Might be a little cold and rainy and snowy, but as far as we know, they're going to play. 18s at 10 a.m., 16s at 12:30 p.m. If you want to come, you can park in the VIP East lot, Lot C or Lot E. Again, field number 8, 18s at 10, 16s at 12:30. If you are spectating, you can sit on that berm on the west side of field number 8. Field is for the players and referees only, so please stay off if you show up, but come out and support the Rapids Development Academy, 16s and 18s this weekend, 10 and 12:30 at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, field number 8. Are you going to go?
It is my wife's birthday.
No, so that's a solid no.
Yeah, so I'm going to take my wife to see the DA because that's how romantic. That's how romantic I am.
Oh, Nick, he loves you dearly.
Yeah,
you're a romantic. You are.
It's like a friend of mine, a former BBC colleague, is a very good friend of mine. He'd take his wife to continental Europe during the summer. And she'd think, oh, this is lovely. They'd go to Brussels. They'd go to Normandy. And it was only...
He's checking out matches, Walter.
It was only when they got there she realised that his team was Gillingham and they were playing pre-season games in these various towns and cities across continental Europe. So, a soccer widow, absolutely. But no, I've got to be on my best behaviour. So I'm going to have to come up with some good ideas and some exciting things for my wife's birthday on Saturday.
I'm sure you'll be just fine. Speaking of former colleagues of yours at the BBC, Atlanta United announced their broadcast team for Fox Sports South, and Alan Green will be doing the play-by-play. If you listen to BBC World Football, that podcast that's available on iTunes, that is one of your touches as well. But Alan Green has been a longtime host of that show.
Yep.
But you guys are just slowly but surely coming to America.
We're moving back in. Yeah. No, I mean, Alan is one of the best in the business. He was absolutely one of the top commentators, predominantly radio, domestic radio. He's done a bit of Match of the Day as well. But you just got to look at his resume. He's covered so many major finals, World Cups, European Championships, FA Cups, does the Premier League every single week. And I've had the honour of working with Alan on many, many occasions over a number of years at some of these big events. And also, as you mentioned there, on the BBC's World Football programme. So I know Alan very well. Atlanta have got a very, very good commentator in Greeny. And also Kevin Egan, who's going to be stepping in for the first five or six games, was with Chicago Fire. Now he's with beIN Sport. And they've kind of loaned him for that first five games. And Dan Gargan, former Rapids player. And that kind of ties in with this time next week, the podcast next week. We're hoping to have some very special guests on what is going to be the lead up to the 10th anniversary of the first ever game at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. And Dan Gargan was, I believe, on the bench, an unused sub in that game against DC United, April the 7th, 2007. And I've managed to track down the guy who built the Dick's Sporting Goods Park field.
How about that?
And we'll get a little word with him. So I managed to track him down, the guy that is responsible for one of the best playing surfaces in Major League Soccer. So we'll chat to him, and there's going to be some other former players that were a part of that day 10 years ago. So it's a little moment of history, and we can look back on that next week. But absolutely, Atlanta, they're doing things well on the field, and now Greeny and Kevin and Dan, they're putting a decent team together in the booth as well.
Well, plenty on deck for next week's podcast, but that'll do it for us for right now. Richard, we'll let you get back to your small vacation, and make sure you ice those knees. The slopes are not what they should be in this point in March. So he'll heal up, and I will do the same, and we'll talk to you on the Rapids podcast number 216 next week. Thanks for listening, as always. Bye-bye for now.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.